99.5 FM, WBAI New York, and on the internet at WBAI.org. It is 5 o'clock. Coming up next, Back of the Book, and Labrish will return next week at 2, following the work of the Midnight Ravers. Back of the Book.
Hello, this is Radio's Uncle Sidney. When I'm out and about, folks comes up to me and says, "You should be ashamed." But when they calms down, they says how much they loves WBAI. That's WBAI New York and WBAI.org. Back in the day, we had commentaries by Malcolm X, Ayn Rand, Abby Hoffman, and William F. Buckley Jr. Imagine them folks in the same room at the same time. Nowadays, we've got Bob Fass, the founder of the Feast. Amy Goodman, you know her, we got her. Michio Kaku, the smartest guy in the world. Shows that helps you not to get evicted. Top-of-the-line news and interviews. Insane artists and musicians. All okay, okay. We went nuts for a while back there. But now we're okay. We're like your crackhead cousin that's making good. So we know you're pulling for us. Go, go, run right now to WBAI.org and look around. See where we've gone. You can even subscribe online. Believe me, you'll be glad you did. Stay tuned.
It should be about 5 a.m., and you're listening to all Smoke, Smoke, Smoke That Atmosphere, Radio WBAI New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Good goddamn morning. How the hell are you? This is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear, and a hearty hello to our dear 19 listeners, wherever they may be.
And we're going to talk about various things on this program. And you can find out a little bit more about it by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com, where you can look around at things. When you get there, you'll see a blue navigation frame on the left-hand side of your screen. At the top of that, it will say latest back of the book program links. And click on that and you get to the web page for tonight's radio program or this morning's radio program, whatever time this is. This is our 52nd pandemic episode of Back of the Book. It's pre-recorded and it's recorded on Friday afternoon, early evening for airing on Saturday morning. So if things have happened between then and when you're hearing this program, we won't be referencing them on this program. A recorded program cannot be as up-to-date as a live program, but this is what we have to do in these dangerous times. And the top worldwide news story of the week is we are back up to 111 followers on Twitter. The world rejoices. The next public WBAI local station board meeting is scheduled to be held on Wednesday, August 11th, 2021 at 7 p.m. on Zoom, even though Zoom compromises privacy and security. And by my count, that will be the 200th meeting of the WBAI local station board, which means I've already been to 199 LSB meetings. Oh, man. Pickles is not so pleased with this. She growls. And so the election stuff is going on. We're having an election in Pacifica for who will be on the next LSB, which starts in December. And I'm staff, so those of you listening, you can't vote for me. It doesn't matter. Only staff can vote for staff. Only listeners vote for listeners. And so... all sorts of stuff we had to do. We had to get our information in and fill out statements. And an interesting thing, there are six questions. And for an entire month or 6 weeks, the website says these questions, answering them is optional. And then with less than 5 hours before the deadline to get everything done, suddenly there appears an email from the national election supervisor saying, oh, it's not optional, it's mandatory, which made a few people jump. And I'd gotten all mine in by then. I'm pretty wordy. Some people can't fill these things out. I just start talking, and oh boy, for me, it's a case of how can I pare it down to a mere 500 words? I got it down to 499 words. And so all this stuff is happening. The voting starts in August. And yeah, it was quite a time getting this candidacy stuff done. And someone in staff looked like they were going to get screwed out of it. And as it turned out, he wasn't. So there you go. So yeah, election stuff is happening. And according to the Johns Hopkins website, COVID-19 cases in the whole world reached 192,946,915 on Friday, and global deaths reached 4,140,725. In America, the number of cases as of Friday was 34,323,426, and the death toll in America was 610,412. So 1,646 people have died of COVID-19 in America since our last program 1 week ago, and that death rate in America has gone down a bit this past week. So that's about on a par with the rate that we'd seen 2 weeks ago. So I guess sort of holding steady as opposed to popping up too much. However, surges are occurring where vaccination rates are low and are still happening. People are starting to refer to the July 4th surge, and there's a general overall surge happening as well. And the South continues to lag in vaccinations. More than 99% of COVID-19 deaths are still among those who have not been vaccinated. Breakthrough infections, where somebody who has been fully vaccinated gets the disease, they account for about 0.1% of the hospitalizations and even fewer of the deaths. Still, Pickles and I are concerned about it. By the time this program airs on Saturday morning, all of those figures we quoted will be higher, of course. And again, this was all mostly preventable.
I'm very concerned, too, about, well, they're not opening the borders in unison. The United States has decided to keep the border closed for some more weeks, as they've been doing, you know, month by month, to non-essential travelers. They're doing that at both the Canadian border and the Mexican border, where Canada is opening up its border to non-essential people from the States, American citizens and permanent residents. And then they're planning in September to just open it up to everybody. And it's just concerning to me that we are still in a pandemic. Numbers are increasing among certain people in the population. I don't see how you can ensure only vaccinated people can travel. You know, people can fake their information.
Very easy these days.
Yeah, although you right now you still have to take a COVID test. Nothing is running there anyway. If you have a car, you can get turned back at the border if it's not dire enough. You know, basically you'd have to have a relative who's dying before they'll let you cross the border. If you're not an essential worker, which I can understand, but my mom just had her 91st birthday. I am so grateful that my parents are still kicking and living in their own apartment and fully vaccinated, but part of me just thinks, when am I ever going to see them again? So I wish people would get vaccinated, including people in my own family. Get vaccinated so this can come to some kind of a resolve where we can be with our loved ones again. I guess that's all I have to say right now about that.
And India continues to catch up to the United States of America with 31,293,062 cases now, and with deaths at 419,470. And I'm really wondering now if those figures for India are politically adjusted. And I don't know, maybe I shouldn't track India at all on this stuff. The figures for both the United States of America and India are probably higher than the official tallies are. And we're in midsummer right now. And yeah, we entered midsummer very early on Thursday. And so here we are in midsummer, and the exact time of midsummer, the exact minute when midsummer will happen, will be on August 6th at 3:54 p.m. Eastern Time. So mark your calendars. And heat domes continue to be in the news, and they're causing big problems in North American West, both in the American states and in the provinces of Canada. And this never-ending wildfire season is really wearing out the firefighters out there. They're used to, you know, being off for a number of months where you don't really get them so much. But now it's huge blazes constantly, 12 months out of the year. And you can't keep doing that stuff. It's really grinding, dangerous physical labor. And they get burned. They get little bits of fire sparks hitting them. And so, geez, that's wearing out the firefighters, just as COVID-19 is wearing out some of the healthcare people. So we have that going on out there. And yeah, this firefighters out there in the West. My father had a job somewhat like that long ago. He was in something called the Civilian Conservation Corps, I won't mention right now what he was in before he went there, but they didn't let him out until he was going to go west to the three C's. We'll leave it at that. Anyway, he told stories of things like they would be, he was in Nevada mostly, and they would do things like chopping down trees and making the fire breaks. And sometimes they would be having to follow up on land that had burned. And there's a type of bush out west that will burn, and it has deep roots. It has roots that go into the earth, and they're not skinny roots. There's like a big substantial amount of the plant that is under the dirt. And so he told the story of one time they were out there and, you know, they're digging stuff up and moving logs or whatever. And so he, you know, they have to build berms, basically. You shovel up and make dirt. And, you know, that keeps, they hope, the fire from jumping to more places. And they go through places that have already been partially burned. And these particular plants, and I think they have like a significant amount of oil in them, and so they really burn. And they're walking along through there, and it's a smoky landscape because things are still smoldering a bit. And one guy didn't watch where he was going, and he stepped right on where one of these plants was or had been, and his foot went right down in up to, you know, the middle shin or so. And basically the plant oil was still burning under the surface. So he stepped into this furnace because, of course, the dirt around it, you know, the root ball is keeping the heat in, and is and the remains of the plant, although they're hot and all, they're not. They have no structural integrity, so they don't keep you up. So his foot went right down up to the shin, and they pulled – he's screaming. They pulled him out, and his whole boot was flaming at that point. They had to cut his boot off, and he lost his foot. So it's very dangerous stuff out there, and if you do a misstep for 1 second, you can lose your foot. You could probably get killed. It's a very dangerous work out there. And that's still what's going on. I'm still not sure that the right-wing jerks in the West, and there are a lot of them, understand that climate change is real and is happening. And we've been getting the smoke from those fires this past week. And I think we've got it again now. We had a front come through a couple of days ago, and it seems to have swept a lot of it out. But looking out the window, I'm looking at smoke again. So it's different from seeing clouds because the smoke comes right down. It's sort of as if there's a fog to some degree, but it's smoke. So it's different, and you can see it's different. And, oh, boy, Pickles of the North can smell it, and it bothers her eyes, and yeah.
Well, yes, and this is going to be an ongoing problem. I mean, my parents have to hide from the smoke that's happening from all the forest fires in Ontario. My family out in Calgary have to hide from the smoke from all the forest fires in BC. And we are getting all the smoke from the American West and the Pacific Coast. And it's just blowing right across the continent. So this is part of the change. Should we call it the change?
Yeah,
I don't know.
The climate crisis, as it's being called a lot.
The crisis.
And yes, and so the fires out west are causing serious air pollution in New York City. And the Billionaire Boys Rocket Club was in the news again this week. Apparently, they're done posturing for the moment. As we mentioned last time, Branson did not get into space. He never crossed the Kármán line. The Kármán line is where a vehicle would have to travel faster than orbital velocity to get sufficient aerodynamic lift from the extremely thin remnants of atmosphere up at that altitude to support itself. So it's no longer able to fly at the Kármán line, and that means it must be out in space enough. So we have that going on. And this week, Jeff Bezos took his penis-shaped rocket up to the Kármán line. He actually got up past it. But he's not going to get any astronaut bling. This past Tuesday, the same day that Bezos blasted off on his erectile rocket, the Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA, approved a change in who can be recognized as being an astronaut. As of Tuesday, anyone going high enough must demonstrate, quote, activities during flight that were essential to public safety or contributed to human spaceflight safety, unquote, according to the FAA, in order to receive recognition as an astronaut. Well, okay, before Tuesday, anyone who got higher than 50 miles above sea level was considered to be an astronaut by the United States. It's 80 kilometers as opposed to 100 kilometers at the Kármán line. So anybody who got above 50 miles above sea level was considered an astronaut. It's interesting that they let Branson get in under the wire, but they've now stopped Bezos. But all of this is so phony anyway. These aren't real astronauts. Real astronauts, as we've mentioned, go through years of training. And astronauts, real astronauts, have lost their lives. Astronauts and cosmonauts have lost their lives trying to push forward the envelope of human understanding of space and what's going on and how we can and cannot move around in the rest of the universe. And these are just a bunch of people from the Billionaire Boys Rocket Club shooting up and being idiots.
And the only one of them, the only one who qualifies to be an astronaut is Wally Funk, part of the Mercury 13, who went through all the tests. I believe they went through the tests even before the Mercury astronauts who got to go, you know, into Earth orbit and space. She is the only one out of all those men and women who is a bona fide astronaut, and I wish she had wings from NASA because she should have gone up along with the other 12 women.
Indeed. And a rather annoying discrimination suit was reportedly filed last month by one Henry Harrington of Minnesota. Mr. Harrington is alleging workplace discrimination on the basis of religion. He was fired from a debt collection agency because he refused to get fingerprinted, which is a part of the bonding process, which you have to go through so they can identify you because they don't want you running off with the money and completely disappearing. If you're going to run off with the money, they want to at least know who the hell you are so they get fingerprints. And reportedly, the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, the EEOC, is taking Ascension Point Recovery Services, that's the debt collection company he worked for, to court on behalf of Mr. Harrington. And they're citing religious reasons for not wanting to be fingerprinted. The suit alleges that the company should have looked for a way to accommodate Harrington's Christian beliefs in accordance with the Civil Rights Act of 1964. Basically, the deal is getting fingerprinted puts the mark of the beast on him. How dumb. And also, the Book of Revelations, wow, that crazy thing, most of the, as far as I know, a lot, maybe most of the Protestant sects don't even have that because they looked at that during the Protestant Reformation and they say, oh no, this has to go. We're not going to believe in this crap. Anyway, so they're saying that the employer should have found some other way to accommodate him. And EEOC attorney Gregory Goshenor says, quote, an employee should not have to choose between his faith and his livelihood, unquote. Well, you know, are there no limits to that kind of crap? Other wacky superstitionists have done the same thing in the past. In 2018, a Pennsylvania school bus driver settled a lawsuit with her employer after claiming that the, quote, mark of the beast, unquote, allegedly caused by fingerprinting, could stop her from entering heaven, as per her understanding of the Bible's Book of Revelations. School employees working with children must pass a criminal background check, including mandatory fingerprinting. So how the hell do you get around that? And, you know, the Book of Revelations is insane. This is a thing that has, oh, and this these days passed, and there are, I don't know, dragons and things happen, and, oh, it's completely insane. And the painters Bosch and Bruegel used to illustrate it because it was so wacky, it gave them all sorts of opportunities to draw strange creatures doing bizarre things and eating people and stuff like that. And oh boy, yeah, the Book of Revelations is just flat out nuts. And then one Beverly Butcher Jr. was handed $586,860 in 2015 because he refused to submit to a biometric hand scanning as a security measure at his job due to this mark of the beast nonsense. And you know, anything could be the mark of the beast. You can say that having to pay money for something is the mark of the beast. So you're just going to take everything out of a store and run away with it, even if you're not in San Francisco. And yeah, you know, I think this is discrimination against everybody else. We need freedom from religion.
So are these people, are these people allowed to stay in those jobs or hired for those jobs?
It's not clear, but I think that some of them leave the jobs with a lot of money.
Okay, so they're paid off, basically.
I guess. But, you know, they could demand that they be allowed to stay there.
My goodness, there are many Christian organizations that don't have any problem discriminating against many, many people.
Yeah, and yet they get to do it. It's not at all nice, and that's what we have. This sort of thing of any wacky thing any Christian comes up with is freedom of religion. This kind of thing is very, very bad, and we got to nip this stuff. It's also how they discriminate against gay people and other people as well. It also used to be how the Christians used to justify slavery. There are old 19th century entire books written with all these passages from the Bible really glorifying slavery and saying how it's a right and proper thing. And hey, it's in the Bible, so it has to be okay. So on the basis of that, shouldn't the EEOC be standing up for people who get charged with enslaving other people? I guess the optics of that aren't quite what they need just yet, but I'm sure a lot of those fundamentalist Christians would just love to be able to assert that.
Oh, yeah. Slavery, indentured servitude, stoning.
Women don't have any rights.
Yeah. You know, sleeping with your daughters.
Oh, yeah.
So you can have kids and continue the family line. There's all kinds of stuff in the Bible and many, many Christian sects. That's why they don't read the Bible. Even Catholicism, which we know intimately, you are not encouraged to read the Bible.
Especially, well, the Old Testament. You're not encouraged to read the Old Testament. New Testament, with all this stuff of Jesus H. Christ gets tacked up on there, which I don't think Jesus H. Christ ever existed, that you can read.
But included in that would be that wacky book of
Revelations.
And you don't read that.
They kind of shy away from the Book of Revelations.
They do. Yes, they do.
I've been through many masses in my life, and they read from parts of the Bible at every mass. I never heard about the Book of Revelations until I think I was like 19 or 20 years old, and I got a hold of a Bible, and I said, what is this? And I started reading it, and I said, this is nuts. Holy bleep.
Yes, it is interesting that many people who were former Catholics, who are former Catholics, will read the Bible at some point just to see what the heck is in this book. And you read that thing cover to cover, yow.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So religious freedom, hey, how about everybody else having religious freedom to function? Because otherwise, anybody could go and try to get a job somewhere where they know they're going to be fingerprinted and say, oh, no, you're discriminating against me. Give me six figures right here and I'll leave. This is extortion, not rights. So we've talked about the South not getting vaccinated, and we've talked about various people and their fundamentalist insanity, and well, in a related, somewhat related situation, remember those statues of traitors Robert E. Lee and Thomas Jackson, who's sometimes referred to as Stonewall Jackson, that were in Charlottesville, Virginia, where they had all the demonstrations and where a right-wing creep murdered a woman? Well, those statues of those traitors, Robert E. Lee and Thomas Jackson, have finally been removed from the pedestals in Charlottesville, Virginia. So that's a good thing. Those two are gone. And yeah, we shouldn't be having statues to traitors. That's a stupid thing to do. And right about now, I think it's time for us to do a station break. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, broadcasting from a transmitter and antenna atop 4 Times Square, going through a new studio somewhere in downtown Brooklyn and originating in our living room somewhere else in Brooklyn. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North, and you can find out more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can also go to the official website of this radio station at wbai.org. Oh, right about here, we should probably pitch. All right. This is WBAI New York, and we are listener-sponsored non-commercial radio. And what that means is we do not run commercials. We aren't selling you the Chevy. We're not selling you timeshares in Florida. Oh, God, Florida. And stuff like that. How do we support ourselves? We support ourselves mostly through you. Listener-sponsored is not a slogan. It's a legal revelation, because you're required to say who your sponsors are. You are the sponsors. And if you aren't yet, I think you should become one. Come on, become one. What you can do to become a sponsor of BAI is to call 1-212-209-2950. And when you get the person on the other end of the line at the call center, tell them you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. That's the name of this radio program. And you can do that, and they will ask you various questions about how to bill you, and you can donate a certain amount of money. A BAI buddy is our name for our sustaining membership. And basically, once a month, you can be billed, and they will, basically, that'll be your contribution. Now, when you call them up, you tell them how much you'd like to contribute per month. It could be $5 a month, $10 a month, $15 a month, or $20 a month. More if you want to, but, you know, whatever. So you do that, and also you tell them what day of the month you want to be charged. And on that day, they will bill your credit card or your debit card for that amount that you've chosen. And so, yeah, if everybody listening right now were to sign up as a BAI buddy for $5 a month, that would help the radio station, and it would also help us, quite frankly, to show that we have listeners who are willing to fork over some dough to keep us on the air. And again, the way you do that is call 1-212-209-2950. And you should know that the general manager says WBAI costs about $120,000 a month to run. That's $120,000 every month. We have a very small station staff here that's paid. Pickles and I don't get paid. Overwhelmingly, the people you hear in the air don't get paid. We have a few people that have to get paid because people have to come in and do things. And we also, however, have to pay rent. We have a huge electricity bill. As you might imagine, running a radio station uses up a lot of electricity. And when you use up a lot of electricity, Con Ed charges you a higher rate because you use up a lot of electricity, especially in the summertime. And we have Four Times Square where the transmitter is, and we have to pay for that. And all sorts of bills, and $120,000 a month is what the general manager says it costs to run BAI. So we need to raise that kind of dough. And we have not been raising it. We haven't been self-sufficient for quite a while. And that's a part of why the station gets attacked by people who want to change everything in Pacifica and sell WBAI off. And if we could just manage to become self-sufficient, they wouldn't have those arguments anymore. So you can help to not only save BAI in the short term by helping to pay the bills, you can save WBAI in the long term by making it no longer such an easy target for these bad people who want to sell the radio station. 1-212-209-2950. 1-212-209-2950. That's the number to call and say you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And you can say that you want to pledge $5 a month, $10 a month, $15 a month, $20 a month. Tell them what day of the month you want your credit card or debit card charged so that it's convenient for you. And bang, it becomes automatic. And, you know, you can choose. You don't choose an amount of money that's going to hurt you. But I think most people could probably manage $5 a month, maybe even 10, maybe even 15 or 20. And so 1-212-209-2950. Please give a call at that number and say you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And we thank you if you do that. And you've probably been hearing about these huge ransomware attacks. And they got the Colonial Pipeline shut down and various places having to cough up money. And Colonial Pipeline had to cough up something on the order of $5 million. And another company or so had to do like $11 million. Well, these ransomware attacks are escalating. And this group called R-Evil, the R stands for Russia, they seem to have disappeared after Biden called Putin about their attacks and said, you know, I told you there's going to be something happening about this. You better do something. And all of a sudden they disappeared, which kind of proves that either, one, they're being run by the Russian government, and it is the Russian government that's doing this, or two, they know who these people are, and they can just reach out and say, okay, stop, and those people absolutely listen to them and stop. Their websites disappear and all of that stuff. And the American software firm Kaseya was hit, and they got everything compromised. They're a software firm, and they manage all sorts of other things on the web. So some places just can't function because Kaseya is their software people. And so, oh boy, this is a problem. Well, now the American software firm Kaseya says that it has the decryption key for customer data for the R-Evil ransomware 20 days after the attack. Did Kaseya pay R-Evil the $70 million ransom? That's the question. It's up to $70 million. And did they pay it or not? They say it came through a third party because R-Evil isn't there anymore and you can't contact them. So that again shows, oh, you can't contact them, so they can just bug out. And are they going to stop doing it? Are they going to give you the key? What happens there? And I think that again shows that it's a state-run operation, either a state-run operation or something very clubby with the state of Russia, Russian Empire number 3. what happens with ransomware, of course, is they encrypt your data. It might be an entire hard drive, might be some of the key files that are on the computers and all of that. They also dig in deeply and they find what the most vulnerable parts are and they encrypt those. When you have something as big as Kaseya, they really make a study of it and then all at once they encrypt those files and you can't use them. Files are still there, but you can't use them. The other nasty thing that they do sometimes is they say, oh, since you're paying a ransom to get it back, you might want to pay a ransom to make it so we don't reveal all of the information, because sometimes they exfiltrate, which means that they download all of the information before they encrypt it. So they might have your whole customer base with lots of information about those companies and their finances and maybe how to get into their finances, and they can have individuals, all sorts of data. And oh boy, these things can be really horrible. And they say, pay us even more and we won't do this. It's blackmail. It's flat out blackmail. And so this is something that's going on. And oh boy, I've always been very bothered since I heard about ransomware when it first started. And I said, geez, that's bad stuff. In those days, they were hitting individuals and you would have to pay like hundreds of dollars or maybe even $1,000 to get the key back. And there's no guarantee you'll get the key back. These are criminals after all. Why do you trust them? And if they find something on your computer, they could say, hey, they might say, wouldn't the police like to see this? How would you like it back? And we'll promise we won't show it to anybody if you pay us.
Yeah.
If you've managed to be able to get your files back, now you got to hope that they're going to not reveal it anyway and that they're not going to come back in another 6 months and say, maybe it's time for you to pay more in blackmail to us. If you've ever watched Perry Mason, you know what happens with blackmailers. Anyway, so this is something that is out there in the world now, and that is just terrible stuff, and it's some of the things that are going on for all of us to some degree. And since we live in the future now, all sorts of things are happening which kind of were somewhat predicted, but in reality are too far out to have been predicted. One of the interesting things is the Tokyo Olympics is starting. We don't think that's a good idea, but they're doing it. And so they had their opening ceremonies with people marching in, and they had these drones. And they had, do you know how many drones they had?
It was just over 1,800.
So they had 1,800 drones, and they coordinated them. And it comes up over the Olympic Stadium, and this must be quite a sight in real life. This sphere starts rising up, looks like one big sphere, and it's the Earth. It's a map of a globe of the Earth, and it's made of individual drones, those 1,800-plus drones. And apparently, this is a pretty impressive thing. And I don't know what else it did, but it was, you know, lighting up and doing stuff. And
yes, at the prior Olympics, so back in the before times, I can't remember if it was the winter or the summer, actually, back then. Anyway, they had drones that were in the shape of birds. They were flying. And that was kind of to me and to you. And this even more so because we've read too many science fiction books, I think, and too many novels by Philip K. Dick, because all these little AIs don't treat people well. Let's just put it that way.
Yes.
They're not used to treat people well. So whenever you see something that is really out there like that, that's what always comes to mind.
Ah, yes. Pickles of the North is very much remembering Philip K. Dick and his writings about what was then the future. I mean, for instance, like ads in Times Square. You go to Times Square today, it doesn't look the way it did 30, 40 years ago. You look at Times Square today, and if you look at the movie Blade Runner, which is the movie adaptation of Philip K. Dick's novel, Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep? You look at Blade Runner, you look at Times Square today, and you say, I see the same stuff going on here. And yeah, that can be a little bit disconcerting to look at. And so, yeah, a lot of that Philip K. Dick stuff is showing up in the world today, And Philip K. Dick wasn't writing lighthearted novels. They're usually pretty bad stuff happening in his novels, and they involve the technology. Now, technology isn't, you know, all bad or anything, but people can be. And more stuff in this area. Attacks and spying on journalists is going on. And there's an Israeli spyware company called NSO Group. And their Pegasus software has been used to compromise mobile devices belonging to human rights activists, political dissidents, lawyers, journalists, and politicians. And this software from the Israeli spyware company NSO Group, this Pegasus software, it can extract handset information from your mobile phone. It can harvest conversations taking place over apps, including WhatsApp and Facebook. It can monitor email clients and browser activity. It can record calls. It can spy on victims through the microphone and camera. Basically, it can be the big spy. It turns your phone, whether it's just an ordinary flip cell phone or more likely the smartphone most people are carrying these days, it turns it into a total spying operation, and it's being used against all of these people. And it's not like a few. Amnesty International has revealed that over 50,000 phone numbers are believed to have been, quote, of interest, unquote, to NSO Group clients and, quote, selected for targeting, unquote, since 2016. The NSO Group says that its Pegasus software is meant only to help legitimate law enforcement bodies to go after criminals and terrorists, and that any other use would violate its policies and user agreements. Oh, yeah. Right. That makes us all feel very reassured. It's hard to say how intrusive this is because you're walking around with it. Even if you're not doing anything, if you're not making a phone call, it can listen to you. It can see what's going on around you. And when you make a phone call, they can listen in, they can record it, they can see whom you're talking to, they know what you're saying to them, and they can just generally watch and listen and see what's happening. And of course, they also know exactly where you are. And that is something that's also come up recently with the outing of a priest. And what's happened is there's this guy, he's a gay priest, and he's a Monsignor, and I'm not going to give his name or anything. I'm not going to out him, which other people have done already. He was outed through advertising apps and Grindr. Grindr is a gay male hookup website. What these other people have done is they have managed to go to a data broker. You go to data brokers, and these people, the data brokers, aggregate information. They subscribe to the information put out by the advertising companies. So you might say, well, yeah, I know, I get these stupid ads in my phone, but the application I use, you know, hey, it might be some game. Oh, I like to play this game. And now and again, an advertisement comes up. It collected information. It collected information on what you were doing, what the application was, the game. It collects information on date, time, where you are, how long you're spending doing this, and any other information they can get. And there's a lot of information that they can get from you. And this is what you sign up for when you say, oh, yeah, I will sign your end user agreement and I will allow you to send me advertising. And you can look at your advertising. I mean, your advertising won't run right if you don't get cookies and scripts, right? So I'll let that happen. Well, a lot of stuff is happening. And so this one priest, he was in the closet. He was a Monsignor in the Catholic Church. And there were some people who have founded, and it's recently founded just this year, a website called The Pillar. And this thing is, I guess, a right-wing Catholic website. And so what they did was they contracted with some of these data service groups that, again, subscribe to the information that the advertisers bring up. Also, Grindr says, oh, we anonymize everything and nobody can find you. Well, nonsense. The basic bottom line here, which a lot of people have known from the beginning, is that anonymizing this stuff with all that information, it's not possible. It isn't that it's hard to de-anonymize someone. It's easy, because all you do is you go to more than one advertising agency and you say, okay, first of all, you go to Grindr, you subscribe to their stuff, and you say, yes, I want to get in. I want to get the information. Then you go to various other things, maybe games, maybe other email clients, all sorts of things that put up advertising, and you get all of their data. And now you start to crunch it. And they can say, oh, but it's thousands upon thousands of people. Yeah, but if you have some, and again, a big important thing here is they can tell where you are through the GPS in your phone. One of the things they do is they look at 9 o'clock at night and 9 o'clock in the morning. And when they do that, it usually tells them where you live and where you work. And they start from there. And all you have to do is go through a set of this information. Now, if you have one set of information only and it has thousands of people in it, yeah, you could end up having a very hard time figuring one person out. But if you have, say, 10 or 12 different data sets, you're going to find it gives all sorts of information and you can correlate that, and you really don't even need 10 or 12. You could probably do it with like 3. And what you do is you very quickly, and the speed of this is amazing. It doesn't take long at all. You very quickly find out the individual, and you can find out that this priest has gone to Grindr, that this priest has gone to some gay bars and when he's done it, and all sorts of information about this priest. And this is what they did. They called him up and said, we're going to publish this. And he resigned his priesthood and his monsignorship. And Jesus H. Christ, this is extortionate. And the thing is, it can be done to everybody who allows these advertisers in. Now, if you want to do something about this for yourself, you should also look at the archive of this radio program. Just look at the back of the book archives on WBAI.org. And it's easy to go up there, and you can, it's up there on the front page, a link to the archives, and you can find the one for this program. At the end of every archive, there's an area for information and links. I have a lot of privacy information there that can help you out. And yeah, it may involve not being able to play some of these stupid little games. It may involve not being able to use certain applications that some people really push and make convenient and free, but the thing is, it may help you to avoid being tracked. Now, the police and the military already utilize these data services because then they don't need a warrant. They want to say, we want to see if X was in this place and that place and the other place on these 3 dates. Well, they don't need a warrant to go looking at your phone for this. They just buy the information. And of course, the military and the police, they have these huge budgets to go looking for things, especially the military. And so what they can do is they can find out where you were. They know your phone number already. They probably already have it. And for them, it's extremely easy. They just look it all up. They go through it and they winnow out who you are and where you were. And then they can say, ah, okay. And they can go into court with this. And they don't need a search warrant to find out where you went, whom you talked to, or any of that kind of information. It's all public and you agreed to it. That's the big thing. You agreed to it. You can't quash that information in court. And so in a non-court thing, of course, these creeps at the Pillar have managed to extort a resignation from this gay priest. In a religion news service column appearing in the Washington Post, theology professor Stephen P. Millies wrote that the pillar, quote, must not have thought about the code of canon law, unquote. And, quote, the pillar's investigators paid little heed also to the canons of ethics for journalists. And these are the things that so many people are running into, especially young people. Young people take this for granted. And a lot of millennials have probably hopelessly compromised their privacy for the rest of their lives because they've said, hey, yeah, I'll take that. Sure, you're offering me this free thing on the phone, and we live on the phone, and we send our texts back and forth. They capture the texts. And all of this, and oh, yeah, so the advertisers know a little bit, and so they advertise us for some more. So they'll know that we like to eat this brand of ice cream, and we'll get advertised from that brand of ice cream. Well, yeah, but they know a bit more than that. Plus, the advertisements that come in for other stuff that get referred, they're doing the same thing. So there's this gigantic amount of information about you and many different data sets, and you don't need that many different data sets to figure out how to track you down. And so this is the world we're living in, and this is bad stuff. Ah, well, okay, that's been it for Back of the Book for this fortnight. Thanks a hell of a lot for listening. We'll be back again here next week. Coming up next is
a special.
And at 7 o'clock, Jim Freund will be here with his program, Hour of the Wolf, which is all about science fiction stuff. Okay, we'll be back here next week. Thanks a hell of a lot for listening. Go on out if you can, but be careful. Mask up. Even if you're vaccinated, mask up. Otherwise, just look out the window. Enjoy the midsummer and how nice it is. And above all, remember what that trying to avoid getting his privacy destroyed Dormouse said.
This radio hasn't been working very well the past 2 days.
Peter, where do you live?
I'm glad you asked me.
It's a secret place. Please tell me.
All right, I tell you.
Mixed Up with Peter Beauchamp.
When?
Saturday afternoons at 5 here on WBAI.
That should be time for our favorite program.
Yes, just about time.
I should have been back here a long time ago.
What would you do if I went off the air?
We'd kill ourselves!
Tell
me a story about your time at WBAI so I can let people know that you, in fact, have returned from retirement.
I retired because I was tired, but I found retirement more tiring than coming to BAI. BAI can be exhausting. Trump's there, and you have to, you know, you have to yak about it. And if you're sitting at home, you're just shouting to the walls. When you have a program at WBAI, you can alert them about Donald Trump.
That's David Rothenberg. Tune in to any Saturday mornings from 8 to 10.
This is a well-oiled promotion, please.
This week on WBAI Playhouse, Kenneth Lonergan's Lobby Hero, a play where betrayals take center stage in the lobby of a Manhattan apartment building late at night, a place rife with racial profiling.
The fact remains that there's a lot of people in jail who don't belong there. A lot of black people in jail who don't belong there. And a lot of cops and prosecutors and what have you who would just as soon throw somebody in jail as nobody.
Sexual harassment.
He said he's gonna get me kicked off the force unless I'm really nice to him.
And abuses of power on the job.
Sorry if I hurt your feelings, but I tell you what to do.
That's Kenneth Lonergan's crime drama Lobby Hero, Saturday evening, July 24th, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WBAI New York.